Blog Talk Radio. On behalf of Omi Inca's Man 2 production, we'd like to thank you for traveling on the journey with her and the journey of the class agent. We'd like to also invite you to participate and partake of the healing process of consuming the poetry which was intended for healing women in recovery. We also like to invite you to also tune in for future poems that have been written for the sole purpose of women in recovery. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and may you find your destiny as Sherelle seeks to find her destiny.
Welcome to Care to Read. I'm glad you can join us this evening. You have your Omi Inca 7 here live, coming to you straight from my living room. We'd like to invite you to be a part of National Poetry Month. This evening we have a feature for you. We're going to be reading from a narrative, and we're also going to ask you to participate. And if you children are out there, gather around for the festivities. It is National Poetry Month. Welcome every one of you this evening. Our special feature this evening will be a story from Rex. This is for the family, Rex Elias. And I'd like for the family to gather around. I'm going to read the story pertaining to Viney Ellen and her freedom. This is a family story, and you definitely want to be present for it. And you young guys and young girls, I hope you did your homework. I did give you some homework to do and ask you to go out and find those poetry books and those narratives. And we hope that you did your homework. And for once and for all, you can be a part of a family event. Because I'm encouraging the families to be involved with literacy. Literacy is so very important, families. I want you to know why. Because once a family reads together, they'll always break bread together. You can have a great conversation over a good story. And this evening, I want you to gather your children and sit down to the table. And you're invited to come into Omi's home. And I'm going to read to you. And I hope you'll enjoy the story. I went out and especially looked for Rex Ellis' book. We've had the story told from Rex's perspective. Now you're going to hear it from Omi's perspective. Aren't you happy to be a part of our family this evening? Ladies and gentlemen, I love poetry. I love plays, folklores, and I also love narratives. I hope you do too. And by the time we're finished this month, all of you will get a chance to try your hand at writing poetry. It'll be a great opportunity for you, and I know you're going to be a better person for it. Once again, gather around the table, take out your notes, because we are going to be listening to the story of Viney Williams and Ben Raymond. A great story for the family. Go out and get the book. Rex Ellis is the gentleman who wrote the book. And we're going to be talking about why did he write such a prolific story about a wedding engagement. What was the point of him doing that? We'll get right into our subject in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd like to take you to station identification and thank you for being a part of our selective National Poetry Month. And if you're out there, write this note down. Take down the phone number and call. And make it your business to make comments. The number is 646-478-0270. Take the number down and keep that dial right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there and don't move it. I'm going to intrigue you with one of my poems. You might not have heard it yesterday, but I'm going to play it again today. Born of the Blackfoot Indian Tribe. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere in a minute.
A Chief and Not an Indian, read by the author Omika Garth. Born of the Blackfoot Indian Tribe, one of the real reasons why I still survive. To those with opinions who wonder why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian, for I'm tribal, you see. My destiny was soon to be foretold, of the prophecy to be unfold, of a leader to come, and a real gift, even to some, raised around the circle of the tree of life, with a dream catcher used as a device. This is why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian. It was a vision of a leader to come and a real gift, even to some. With a child at the center of the family's link, this was one of the tools used to keep a leader in sync. Raised in a tribe of 18 with 8 chiefs and 10 Indians. And if you're wondering where the 8th chief arrived, it's no real surprise, for I'm the real leader of the pack. With all 10 Indians who've got my back. This is why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian. It was a vision of a leader to come and a real gift even to some. While Mama made her transition when I was just 2, there was nothing left for me to do but to lead my people into the underground steeple. Why one of the traits of a real chief is to take charge against those who would barge. By consulting the oracles for spiritual instructions in order to avoid chaos and disruption. Like gods and goddesses, they do this. Like kings and queens, they do too. Like priests and priestesses, they all do it too. Cast lots to determine their spots. This is why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian. It was a vision of a leader to come and a real gift even to some. You see, a chief knows their place. So back up and get out of my space. Don't try playing me for no Indian, acting like you're smoking on the peace pipe of indigo. I'm calling you out like a real chief. I aim to take back what was mine, you thief. Oh, and if you're still wondering why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian, just check the history books. Why, it's no real mystery. For centuries, you have desecrated our land, forfeited God's plan for man, called us out of our name, left us feeling shame, stole our language, then pushed us into anguish, attempted to render us mute. That's when we had to hit you with a suit. Took us to a level of deprivation, which led us to call for reparation. You stole from a chief, you dirty thief. Now I'm going to leave you in your grief.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this segment. We're going to get ready and pour our libation. As I light a candle for my mother's spirit, I light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I'm going to pour the libation and a glass of water for my mother's spirit and my father's spirit. As I pour the water, I would like for you to participate with me by saying, Ashe. And this is a very special moment that we do for the family, to show them how to commune with their ancestors. As I pour the cup of water for my father, I say, Ashe. I set a glass of water up for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I washed my face with the water so that My face is not stale as I go to greet my ancestors. Pour libations to the north, and I say, Aishe. I pour libations to the south, and I say, Aishe. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Aishe. And I pour libations to the west, and I say, Aishe. And we let the water hit the ground because we know the ground is fertile, and where the water falls, up will spring the word of God. And I pray that we remember that we call our ancestors not because we worship them, but we're communing with them. I call the names of my ancestors, Clara Jenkins, Aishe, Robert Jenkins, Aishe, Tommy Pete Harvey, Aishe. I call forth Eugene Lilly, Aishe, Marvin Jenkins, Aishe. I call forth Robert Jr. Jenkins, Aishe, Lucille Day, Aishe. I call forth Ludell James, Aishe, Louise Lord, Aishe, Mary Lou Hawkins, Aishe, Marvin Jenkins, Aishe, George Lilly, Aishe, Sam Lilly, Aishe, Michael Lilly, Aishe, Michelle Harvey, Aishe, Tom Harvey, Aishe. And as we call those names, remember to call your ancestors' name, and remember that they are here to commune with you and reconnect. Ladies and gentlemen, remember to do likewise, to say a prayer for the family. Father, I pray for the families that are represented here today, that you may give them the desires of their heart, that you may open up their intellect so that they can share in the word and benefit from all that's said here today. We bless each and every one of their households, and may you enrich them with abundance, and may their lives forevermore be enriched because of literacy. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, I pray that you bless my household and that there be bread in our household and plenty to share with others, and that we will gather, pressed down, measured together, running over in our bosom. The abundance that you give us will be eyes have not heard, ears have not seen what you are about to give the families that are present here today. May we be an example for others to follow, that they may see through worshiping you that there is much to gain through acknowledging you and living a life that's worthy to be praised. We say to God be the glory. And let us go on, ladies and gentlemen, because we have to get into our story. And I'd like to get right into the story. As I told you, this is family night. And families, if you're out there, we'd like for you to come in, gather around the table with your children. This is family night because we included this story, the story of Viennese Free Papers, into our ceremony for marriage. That's why it's so very important that you be present here today. And I'm reading from Beneath the Blazing Sun, an American storytelling book that's written by Rex M. Ellis. And the story I'm reading once again is Viennese Free Papers. Now I'm going to change my intellect a little bit, my dialogue. I'm going to speak a little bit different because that's what they did way back in the time when they were slaves. I first heard a wonderful adaptation of Paul Laurence Dunbar. Short story, The Sword of Gideon, by Daniel Pretchett, a good friend. Although Dunbar, one of the most beloved black poets of the 19th century, was not known for his short stories, The Sword of Gideon provided me with an opportunity to talk about the special magic that can occur when two people are in love. No matter what the circumstances, even the oppressive nature of slavery did not keep African American from finding each other and falling in love. From the first time he saw her, Ben Raymond loved Viney. Although he was over 6 feet tall and as strong as two workers on the plantation, he was scared stiff when he came to reveal his true feelings, and especially about her, Viney. He first met Viney when she was sent to work in the tobacco field where he was foreman. From the moment he saw her, he wanted her for his own. She was as pretty as a picture and as hard worker as she could be. But what he liked most about Vianney was that she had strength. She was small in size, but she had the strength of 10 men in her spirit. No one took advantage of Vianney. And then like that, to survive as a slave, you had to be strong. With her at his side, he felt there was nothing he couldn't do. Vianney sounds a little bit like Omi. But she was so bold and assertive that she also made him feel awkward sometimes. Whenever he was around her, his heart began to beat faster and faster. His palms started to sweat, and his legs shook like tree limbs. On a windy day, sometimes he could just look at her and grow dizzy right on the spot. His mouth became as dry as cotton, and even if he wanted to, he couldn't speak about anything. He started whispering. He didn't like others to see him when he was around Vianney because he acted so silly. And to be a good foreman, he had to convince everyone who worked for him that he was in control all the time. In spite of these handicaps, the time had come to ask her to be his, or at least to try to be his wife. He didn't want to lose her to some other young buck. Most of them didn't know how special she was, and she deserved someone who did. He thought about her all the time when he worked in the field, when he chopped wood, when he was fixing the wagon wheel. Even when he slept, she was on his mind. One day he sent a note to Vianney, asking her to meet him in the woods at dusk. She sent word back that she would be there. He had arrived at the meeting place early, and he was practicing and prancing back and forth, talking to himself, sort of like this, trying to decide, I don't know what I'm going to say to Vianney. I have to find the words. Trying to decide what he was going to say to her. Vianney, Vianney, that ain't it. Vianney, you know, Vianney, we, Vianney, no, that ain't it. Vianney, you and me, no, that ain't it. Just about the time Vianney arrived, Ben Raymond, why do you got me coming out here in the dark like this? You scared me to death. I'm scared of the woods. This place, why you got me out here? And Vianney asked Vianney impatiently, Vianney, I asked you out here. And Vianney said, I'm scared, Ben Raymond. It's snakes all out here in the grass. I was scared. A snake or something could probably jump out and bite me. Well, Vianney, I wanted to talk to you, said Ben in a small whisper voice. What do you want to talk to me about, Ben Raymond? Well, Vianney, I wanted to talk to you, Vianney. And Ben Raymond began to stutter like he never did before. What do you want to talk to me about, Ben? I was plowing in the field the other day, and I was going long fine when, Vianney, all of a sudden, there in the thicket, I was plowing with a great big old mess of black snakes that come up behind me. You should have seen it. A mama snake, Vianney, you should have seen it. She was all curled up, ready to protect her mother and her youngin'. said Ben Raymond excitedly. Ben Raymond, do you think I'd like to hear about snake stories? No, 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 Vonnie. Then why are you telling me a snake story, Ben Raymond? Asked Vonnie, tapping on the floor with one foot, rolling her eyes back and forth at Ben Raymond, sort of like she was angry. That's not what I wanted to talk to you about at all, said Ben Raymond desperately. And as he began to get a little fearful-like, he shifted his weight to one side and shifted back again and then stood staring still with one foot resting on the other. Well, Vonnie, what it is I want to talk to you about? Well, what is it, Ben Raymond? Well, you know, Master Taylor been looking at me real hard at me lately, you know. I don't think he's going to be long before he'll have me working his mill directly. He knows I know everything there is to know about running a gas mill. I think he'll ask me to do the full time pretty soon, said Ben Raymond happily, to have gotten it to standing straight up. Because of his newfound voice, what's really nice, Ben Raymond? And that's really nice that your master wants to do that for you, says Bonnie. Yeah. And I might even get to keep some of the tips I make, offered Ben Raymond. That's real nice, Ben, says Bonnie. Yeah, and I might even get to take a trip to Richmond one day. Bragging. That's what he was doing, bragging. Ben, he put his hands in his pocket and kicked nearby twigs on the ground. Now, wait a minute, Ben, just wait a minute, said Vonnie. I don't know any master near in town, in these parts, that is, that would let a slave even own or go that far. What's to keep you from running away if you had a mind to? Ben Raymond said, you? Said Ben Raymond in a soft voice. Me, says Vonnie, in a surprised voice, realizing that Ben had something serious in mind. She now became nervous, and she turned her back and looked the other way, sort of shamefully, but surprised in a way, and rolled her eyes back and forth from him, looking down at the ground and sliding away, and sat down there on the stump. Vonnie, Ben commanded, just sit down there on the stump, Vonnie, would you please? Vonnie sparingly obeyed him. She tucked her ruffled skirt under her backside and sat down on the stump as it were fancy lakeside back chair. Now, you and me been knowing each other clear over a year, Vonnie. I've been looking at you, and I know you've been looking at me, Vonnie. Ben was hitting his stride and hitting the ground, and he stared at her boldly as he let her know she had eyes for him, too. Now, wait a minute, Ben. Ben Raymond said cautiously, Vonnie, as she fumbled over the words and moving the pleated skirt back and forth. Ben broke in. I ain't got time, Vonnie, to make it pretty for you. Neither one of us know when we might be sold clean away from here. So I figure whatever happens, we got to do something right now. We got to be mighty bold about it and jump on it right now. With both feet, Vonnie, I want you to be my wife. And I'm fixing to ask your master if you and me can jump the broom. I don't know, Ben Raymond, Vonnie said shyly as she stood up and sashayed her skirt to the side. You know I feel. You know how I feel, Mighty Woman. You know I feel. You know, you know, you know. You know how I feel. I love you. Ben managed in an awkward way to smile in spite of his nervousness. Oh, you do, you Ben Raymond? Do you really love me? Do you love me, Ben Raymond? Oh, Lord, now you're going to make things harder than they already is, as Ben Raymond looked down on the ground. You're going to make things so hard. I'm not going to try to make it hard for you, Ben, said Viney. I just want you to be sure about what you're saying. This is the most I've ever heard you talk, except when you're funning with the little children. I just want you to be sure about your feelings, that's all. You're asking me a whole lot of questions about feelings, but you ain't said nothing about yours yet. Ben Raymond, said Vonnie, with her hands on her hips. Ben Raymond. And she strutted back and leaned on her leg. How many men do you think I'd meet out here in these dark, scary woods at this time of night? How many, huh? I had strong feelings for you ever since I seen you on that hay cart last June, she said. She looked down at her shoes and twisted from side to side, completely vulnerable, no moving at all, just staring there, vulnerable to nothing to be said. Oh, yes, yeah, said Ben, beaming with pride. Well, well, what about Holland, Holland Price? What about Holland? Vonnie responded, desperately bracing for an argument. He's decent enough to say more than two words to me, in public, that is, which is more than I can say for you when you're in front of people. Well, I just don't like everybody knowing my business, said Ben. Well, neither do I, said Vonnie. Oh, is that why all the time you're holding hands and looking goose-eyed at each other? Ben looked directly in Vonnie's eyes. Vonnie exploded. I never look goose-eyed and hard face. Maybe you need to go to the shop and look around and ask somebody, haven't they seen you looking goose-eyed? And Well, Ben Raymond, Hollis does talk to me. She shook her finger squarely in his face and stomped her feet fervently. My eyes work fine. I know what I saw. I know what I saw, Vonnie, and more than one or two times, Vonnie. They were close enough to touch noses as Ben held his ground. Seeing that he was not going to back down, Vonnie stomped away from him a few feet and decided to ask him a question that was even more important than what they were arguing about. Did you come here to fuss at me, Ben Raymond, or to ask me to marry me? Ben, realizing that he had lost his temper as he worsened, possibly looking over the time, looking toward the ground. I'm sorry, Vonnie said. Then he glanced around to make sure no one was watching. He backed up and looked over at Vonnie again and slid his hand in her hand, pulled her close to him, and as ever so gently, he sealed her bond with a kiss. Feeling a sense of accomplishment, Ben asked, so when do you want me to ask Master Taylor? When do you want me to ask them? When would be a good time to ask Master Taylor about giving me your hand in marriage? Well, said Viney, he counts his tobacco on Friday. he's in a good mood then, talk to him on Friday. Friday? Well, Friday that is then, said Ben. But, Viney, you ain't gonna change your mind, are you? Asked Ben, afraid that she would change her mind. No, Ben Raymond, assured Viney, you ain't going to change your mind, are you? Not even if a whole big mess of black snakes curled up and started after me with their fins, just waiting to sink into me. Ben Raymond screamed, Viney, you know I'm afraid of snakes. She chased him around in a circle, fussing at him as she ran. They both had a good laugh as they realized that that time together was growing short. They kissed one last time and parted. Ben floated home that night. It was as if he were walking on clouds. All he could see ahead of him was an image of Viney and himself kissing each other goodbye. He had finally done it. Soon after the night, Viney and Ben Raymond were married. Viney's mother brought a special broom made of corn shuck and laid it down behind them, just as the preacher said they were married. They turned around and jumped over the broom together. Ben had finally done it. Viney was now a permanent part of his life. After they were married, Ben Raymond took his new bride home. He had built a small 12-by-15-foot cabin for them to live in. As time passed, he did what he could to make the cabin look like home for Viney. One year, he made a chest of drawers for her, and that he placed in one corner. Another year, he made a bedspread for her, so that they wouldn't have to sleep on the floor like most of the other slaves. He also made her a rocking chair, placing it in a special spot in the house so that she could rest herself after a hard day's work. All around the house were things that were provided for Viney by Ben Raymond, who loved her and wanted to care for her. And they were happy. Ah, they were happy. Whenever other slaves on the quarters were depressed, as they often were, feeling as if no one cared, they visited Ben, Viney, and Ben Raymond place. They were sure to leave their house feeling better because themselves. And much of the time, they often would tell others to go visit. Ben Raymond promised Viney one thing before they were married. He promised her he would purchase her freedom. In those days, if you were free, you had to have papers proving it, and these papers had to be with you at all times, or you could be sold back into slavery. Viney was owned by Master Taylor. He had owned her for about 7 years, and since he had approved their broom-jumping marriage, he knew it wouldn't be long before Ben would be coming to ask him to draw up free papers for Viney. Both men settled on a price of $200. Ben figured it would take him at least 4 years to earn that kind of money. Every day and every season, when he had finished his master's work, he'd take on extra tasks. He was a good carpenter, so he'd take on odd jobs and work half the night sometime to earn a dollar here and there and a few dollars on the weekend. During the winter month, he'd work in the cold. One time, he almost cut his leg clean off, chopping up a load of wood for a widower who lived nearby, but he never complained. He knew he was doing it all for his beloved Viney. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue that story a little bit later, and I don't know how much more. We've got a couple more pages to go, and we're going to continue that story on tomorrow. I hope you were able to get an understanding of what went on in those slave quarters. I hope that you also will grow to love Rex Ellis' work. He is a prolific writer, one of the best, I would say, and I'm going to tell you to remember to always go and find folk tales and get your children involved, parents, and get your families involved in family time reading. This has been a fantastic time with you in reading, and I really want you to understand that reading has always been my first love. And if you haven't tried to put reading in your repertoire, I would say you should. I would say you should stop and come back and remember that reading is something that will help your family to grow and it will help your family to advance. Now, most of you don't understand that in school, the teacher tells the student all the time, make sure you do some reading at home. And I'm going to tell you the same thing. Make sure you do some reading at home. And thank you so very much for joining me this evening and being a part of this particular segment of the show. It's very important that you remember that your mother and father are very busy children, but you can ask them to read to you. And I'm going to ask you, mother and father, take some time to read. If you care to read, bring books home for your children. I want to say to you this evening, Odabo, have a great evening, and I'll see you. Tomorrow is Thursday. I don't think I'm on the schedule tomorrow, but I will see you on Friday. So I say Odabo and Baba Booey to you, y'all. This reading segment has been a great one. Please join us on Friday to finish Viney Williams, Viney and Ben Raymond, the story of Viney's freedom. Gentlemen, we'll see you on Friday. Lock in that dial and keep it right there. And come on back and join us on Friday. Friday, we're going to kick it up and have a great time. And we hope that each and every one of you could be with us on Friday. We're going to do something special Friday. We're reading again, and we're reciting poetry. So if you have a poem that you would like to read, come on in and read your poetry. Don't be shy. We'll help you out if you're doing impromptu. We'll give you all the time you need. We're a friendly group. And we would like to have you present on Friday. Don't forget, we're going to finish up the story of Ben Raymond and Viney Moore. And we'll go into other poetry and other songs as well. So I'd like to leave you with a great evening. Have a great time reading this evening. And parents, don't forget to read those books to those little ones. Thank you so very much. Odabo.